If our readings have anything in common today, it is persistence, especially in the face of struggle. In Genesis, we have the story of Jacob wrestling with God in the darkness, and Jacob being renamed Israel after the struggle. In the epistle to 2 Timothy, Paul, who is said to be near death at this time, is concerned with passing on in a very personal way what he has learned from his career, from his ministry, to Timothy, his spiritual heir. In our gospel from Luke, Jesus tells a parable and tells us why he is telling it. He says it's a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Jesus tells us about the persistent widow and the unrighteous judge who grants justice to the widow. And Jesus says, "How much more will God, who is just, do for you? And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night?" And so as I pondered these readings, as I thought about what I wanted to say in my last sermon here with you all, I thought of something, a conversation I had a few weeks ago. They say that preachers really just have one sermon, and we just preach it over and over again. And so someone asked me, "What is your one sermon?" And I thought about it, and I said, "Well, I should probably ask you that, what you think my one sermon is." And so I'm not sure if this really is my one sermon, you all can tell me, but I feel like over and over the message that I want you to hear is that, yes, things are hard and frightening, and that, yes, God is present, and we are not alone. And that, yes, we will persist through this moment, through this time. And we draw strength to persist through the stories of our ancestors, through scripture and tradition, through stories like that of Jacob's. Because the story of Jacob wrestling with God is much more than just that one moment that we see today. If you recall, Jacob came into the world, they say, clutching the heel of his older brother Esau. And in fact, Jacob's name means supplanter, foreshadowing how he would trick his father into giving him the blessing that should have been his older brother's. And as you can imagine, Esau, the older brother, was not very happy with Jacob when this blessing was stolen. And so in this big fight between the brothers, Jacob had run back to the home of his mother, to Laban. And so when we meet Jacob wrestling on the bank of the Jabbok, we meet a Jacob who has decided to move forward towards his brother for the first time in his life since that fateful moment. Jacob has decided to bring his whole family and come back to the land of his father to face Esau for the first time. And it's not certain how Esau will react. Will he be angry? Will he try to kill them? Jacob doesn't know. And so Jacob sends ahead of him different gifts and things that he hopes will placate Esau in his anger. And so as he waits that night before meeting his brother, that is when God shows up and meets him, and they struggle together in the dark. God met him as he went to face the very thing that he had been avoiding his whole life. And it was this struggle with God in the darkness of that night that transformed Jacob, the supplanter, into Israel, a new name for a new leader. And so while we don't wish struggle on anyone, I certainly don't particularly enjoy it myself, we do acknowledge that it can have a formational role to help us step fully into who we are and who we were created to be. And I think about this a lot these days, from our country and the things going on in our world to the church itself, where the drumbeat of declining membership, the decline of Christendom in the United States, all of these things tell us that this is a time of great and deep struggle. In our community, we see this struggle to house and just simply live here in Palo Alto. There is much to struggle with in the dark. And yet, I wonder, what is this time of struggle in the darkness calling forth in us? How is it forming us? Who will we be? At our parish retreat last weekend, we talked a lot about hope. And one of the things that I was so struck by was that hope was articulated as, in its very nature, being that which is not yet. We don't hope because we know. We don't hope because we have already seen it. We hope precisely because it is not yet, because it is not yet seen and known. And so, even as I see this struggle in our country, our church, our community, I hope. As Debbie writes in her essay this week, to fight with God, to show up day after day in prayer, to wrestle with our resistance in the darkest hours of the night, is to stay close. To keep our arms wrapped tightly around the one who alone can bless us. Fighting means we haven't walked away. Fighting means we still have skin in the game. Fighting means we still have skin in the game. And so we persist, even when things are challenging and the darkness feels overwhelming, we persist. And I have seen you all persisting day after day in ways great and small, in ways noticeable and not. I think of the way that this community has supported Augustine, our sexton who was arrested by ICE almost a month ago now. From not just the funds raised, which is incredible and important, but also through the cards written, through the prayers, through the love shared. I think of our lay Eucharistic visitors who week after week persist, who take communion from our altar to those who can no longer join us for Sunday worship, week after week, persisting in love. I think of our Children and Family Commission that is now having discussions about what does it mean to have formation for our children. That in Sunday in Children's Chapel, our numbers are going down, and yet are we forming our children in other ways, in other places that are not just a Sunday morning? How can we meet the challenge that is before us? And despite how frustrating it can be sometimes, they persist. They persist. And I hope that you all understand how special that is, how special this place is. Some might say that I'm a little biased, but there is something special about this place, this charism, this spirit that lives here that is much more than any of us clergy or laity individually, but there is something here that is generative and that is real and that is holy. And I've even had conversations with previous associates who say the same thing, that there's something special about this place, about you all. From allowing space for people to be their full and weird selves. You all listened to a lot of Parks and Rec jokes on my part. From the way that you love one another. From the way that you deeply yearn to be good. To act justly in an often unjust world. This is important. This is holy. And so, to steal the words from 2 Timothy, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. And to use the Message translation of the last part of the verse, don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. Persist in love and justice, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, and be attentive to the fruits of that struggle, how they are forming you as individuals and you as a community. And most importantly, remember that you are enough. You are not alone. And that the God who seeks you just as fervently as the widow knocking at the door day after day is always present and available and loves each of you so deeply. Know that I'll be praying for you. Pray for me. And continue to walk in love, as you always have. Amen.